Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
What the Lord is doing. I'm very much enjoying it. He and I are having quite a time over there while y'all are having a time down there. I've spent a couple of Wednesdays talking about favor and increasing favor. And Wednesday, I talked a bit about favor being linked to grace. And there's actually instances in the Old Testament, especially, where the same word is translated favor one time and graciousness another. And I've been talking about every grace of God is activated in our lives by faith. And I so appreciate Mike. He's been seeking the Lord for years now, and he watched a video of a Sid Roth show, and it's so interesting how the Lord works. And there was a pastor on there who had received a prophetic word years ago that the sanctuary would be surrounded by wheelchairs, walkers, crutches, canes, of people that God healed. And God has given us the same word. And this pastor literally prayed that prophetic word for years. He prayed it for years. He believed for years. Because many times faith does not activate the miraculous instantaneous. And that's what we want. We want the instant miracle. That's just what we want. We want to see God move quickly. And faith does not come by experience. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And this man kept praying the word of God. When you're praying the word of God, you're hearing the word of God. And if we're going to see what God has said, he said there's going to be walkers, wheelchairs, crutches, and canes. And there's even hearing aids and eyeglasses and other things that the Lord's been adding to the wall in this church. In the last 8 months, the walls are covered with wheelchairs, walkers, canes, crutches, hearing aids, and eyeglasses. The Lord told us wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and crutches, but he's the God of exceedingly abundant. So we can expect there'll be some other stuff like braces and different things that'll be on the walls that we've never been even expecting. People that have metal in their bodies, it will be removed. You say, well, I just don't believe God can do that. Well, see, that's the problem. We just touched on what the problem is right there. Unbelief is the thing that hinders those kinds of miracles in the house of God. And so we got to walk by faith. And like I said, faith does not come by experience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to base our faith on what God says, not on what we see. What you see is never going to work. This is, I don't even know that this can be covered in 100 years. It is so vast. Abraham was not moved by what he saw. And he was not a perfect man. God never hides flaws. I appreciate that. I'm glad Peter had a big mouth. I'm tickled about that. Gives me hope. I'm glad he did stupid things. That's encouraging to me. Peter didn't do everything right. But God still used him in big ways. Raised the dead. Thousands converted in his preaching. They would line people up hoping that Peter's shadow would fall upon them when they would walk, because God would heal people that his shadow crossed. I'm talking about some favor. And God has already told us what he wants us to do and what he wants to do. He wants to line the walls of our sanctuary, and I don't even think this will be the last sanctuary. And we look and we say, well, it doesn't look like we're anywhere near needing to build. See, that's your problem. You keep looking at what you see. God said buses are going to come. That's what he said. I didn't say it. I didn't even prophesy that. That came from other people. But I believe it. I just believe it. I pray it every day. And if you think I don't know your name, and some of your names I don't know, write your name down and put it on the communion table, and I'll include you in my prayer list. I pray over people almost every day. Lift you by name. I pray the will of God, the kingdom of God. I pray the grace of God, grace with men, grace with God, favor with men, favor with God, favor with governments, favor with politicians, because I don't know that they're people. I don't know what they are. I have no confidence in any of them. I mean, we have one group of people saying they're trying to save the democracy, but at the same time, they're trying to keep hundreds of people off of ballots so people can't vote for them, and they're going to call that democratic. We have some corruption in this country. So I pray favor even with the evil, that they don't do anything ungodly to you. I pray favor with things. I pray when you go out and start your car in the morning, it starts. I pray that you don't get halfway there and it quits. I've had my van, I had mine and Kathy's minivan, the transmission went out on it right on I-44 when we're converging into rush hour traffic in Oklahoma City, and they're driving 80 miles an hour and I ain't got no transmission. I'm coasting. And I've got to get across three lanes to get off the road. So I pray that doesn't happen to you. It was not enjoyable at all. But God taught me faith through that. We're going to look at what the Bible says about faith. We're going to begin it anyway. We're going to combat some of the things that hinder our faith. and even false belief systems that we have built seemingly to guard ourselves against faith. It's amazing to me that people think they have to guard themselves against faith. You say, well, I just don't understand what you're saying. I've had people sit in my office and tell me, I don't want to believe God for things because I don't want to be disappointed. So they feel like they have to guard themselves against faith. Do you see how skewed? I mean, the Lord says you can't even please God without faith. But we don't want to operate in faith because it will make us feel uncomfortable. It's going to be heavy today. But when we walk out of here, there's going to be some people set free from unbelief. You're going to be able to believe. We're going to see walkers and wheelchairs and crutches and canes and hearing aids and eyeglasses and braces and titanium body parts, screws, plates. I can see it. I believe with all my heart that that's a defense mechanism. That faith is so volatile, so uncertain in outcome, at least in the sense of things working out the way we plan, that it seems to some like faith, walking by faith, is like walking on quicksand. I grew up thinking quicksand was going to be a lot bigger deal than it's turned out to be. Some of you don't understand that, but all the movies when I was a kid, quicksand was in every one of them. And horses and riders, they're getting sucked into it every time. I was afraid to walk through the woods thinking I'd get in some quicksand. And this, you know, everybody has their weakness. I get that. I totally get that. So I'm not beating on you about your weakness. But I believe this is why faith is so easy for people like me. Because I don't have to have a plan. There are people, they want a plan for everything. I don't even like plans. I fly by the seat of my pants. And so faith is not a big deal to me because I don't have any preconceived notions about how things are going to turn out today. And so when I see something that doesn't turn out maybe in a way that makes me feel good or easy or comfortable, it's not that big a deal to me because I know the one who holds the day. See, it's like Bill Johnson talked about when his precious wife went to heaven. God is not a vending machine. We put a coin in and pull a lever and get the response we desire. I am not uncomfortable with whatever choices he makes, but often his choices make me uncomfortable. Some of his choices make me feel sad. They make me feel hurt. They make me feel pain and a plethora of emotions and feelings, both physical and mentally, that are uncontrollable to my flesh, uncomfortable to my flesh. But in my spirit, there is a calm that only comes through trusting Him fully. Hebrews 11 declares, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Instead of unwavering faith, the modern church is often guilty of being in a race to see who has the most reasons to not believe God and His Word. And what I mean by that is we have a list of reasons why we refuse to believe what God says. Now, I've gone through this, but I just felt compelled this week and even inspired in ways that I have never talked about faith. There are times that life can be so traumatic that it renders us incapable of believing God for good things. We can get to a place where we say, I just can't take that kind of heartbreak again. Like I said, I've had people sit in my office and tell me, I don't want to believe God for good things because I don't want to be disappointed again. We convince ourselves it is better to live in our current state, even though Scripture is clear of a better way. We would rather deal with our present discomfort than believe God and go through some future disappointment. We are more comfortable with our discomfort than we are with the thought that there's a possibility God won't do it the way we ask. We need to honestly ask ourselves this simple question. Why do we not believe the Bible? Why do we not believe the Bible? The Bible is clear. Healing is God's will. You can't argue that. You show me a single instance in the New Testament, in the Gospel. Show me a single time that anyone came to Jesus for a healing and He said, not today. Every person that came to Him, every single one. And I'll get criticized for this. I get that. I don't care. If all I care about is criticism, I don't care about God. I care more what He thinks than I care what anybody else thinks. Whoever came to Jesus was healed. That's the standard. Until we see that, there's progress to be made. Are we seeing that now? No. Faith does not come by experience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We got to drown out some of that unbelief. And there are some answers. I've talked to people about this. I know a man I consider a great friend, a dear friend. And he is so caught up in what the Bible clearly defines as sin. And it's one thing to struggle. I've said this so many times. As long as you will tell me I'm struggling with this sin, I will get right there in the boat with you, and I will struggle with you all the way to heaven if that's what it takes. I believe you can make heaven struggling with sin. What I really struggle with, though, is somebody that tells me I can do this and it don't matter. We have to ask ourselves, why do we not believe the Bible? And this man told me straight up, I just don't believe the Bible. Professes to be a Christian. I'm not his judge. It's not my place. But if I were in his shoes, just me, I would be extremely uncomfortable with that thinking. It makes me nauseous. It's very unsettling to me to embrace sin, what the Bible absolutely, without doubt, without flaw, without fault, you cannot, in my opinion, continue. John said it like this: if you practice sin, you are of the devil. That's what John said. You can't believe that and practice sin. And that this man told me, I don't believe that. His exact words were, and Paul didn't write that, John did, but his exact answer was, I am not a disciple of Pauline doctrine. I follow Jesus. And I'm like, what do you say? I have confronted people about these kinds of things, and they always have answers. And so we need to answer the question, are we conformed or are we transformed? Because Paul told us, now if you're not a disciple of Pauline doctrine, then this doesn't mean anything to you. But if you believe the Bible is the Word of God and you refuse to believe the Bible as the Word of God because you don't want to be uncomfortable, because you don't want to be disappointed, because you don't want to live in an unsettled season, or whatever the reason is, ask yourself, am I conformed or am I transformed? Because Paul said to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he also wrote in Ephesians, in verse 25 of chapter 5, he said, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I shared a video this week of the gospel presentation. And if you are on Facebook, I cannot encourage you enough to go to my Facebook page and listen to it. It's one of the most profound presentations of the gospel I've ever heard. I mean, it's powerful. And this man takes it all the way from Adam to present day. And he makes this profound statement that the same gospel that saves us from sin, the same gospel that saves us from sin, is the same gospel that sanctifies us or makes us holy. He said we are in this ongoing sanctification, that we're not only saved from sin, but that we come to a place where we begin to take on the family resemblance. We become more and more like Jesus. So that's what's one of the, I mentioned Bill Johnson all the time. It's because I'm impressed with Bill Johnson. I've told you in the past, I've never seen anybody get criticized like that. I mean, they say he's the Antichrist. They say he's a heretic. They say he's not a Christian. I've heard people say that mess that Bill Johnson has going on out there at Bethel. Yeah, that mess where thousands of people are getting saved every year. Tremendous miracles. People getting healed from bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. They're getting healed from cancer and heart disease and diabetes. I mean, miraculous events happening on a weekly basis. People traveling from all over the world to be in the services to get healed. Yeah, that's a mess. And he's got people that have written books about him, calling him a heretic and just ugly, ugly things that they say. And Bill Johnson, he takes his stand. I listened to him again this week, and I heard him say this again. He said, I have no right to judge God's servants. The brother that preached that I shared on Facebook is one of the critics. He's from that movement. Bill Johnson says, I have no right to criticize God's servants. I'm telling you, the guy is God's servant. I have no doubt about it. He preaches the gospel. But he says some ugly, ugly things. And see, that's the difference between that movement and Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson can receive from this man and refuse to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But they cannot. They say if you're wrong about anything, you're wrong about everything. If we only understood the ridiculousness of that statement. If you're wrong about anything, you're wrong about everything. I'm pretty sure I'm wrong about something. Kathy has shown me several things over the years. But I've told you before, Bill Johnson said, I take the greatest pleasure after praying for his family. He takes great joy. He's been praying for his children for over 40 years. I think his oldest son is 42. He said, I've been praying for my children before they were born. And so over 40 years, he's been praying for his children. He takes great pleasure in praying for his children. He said, the second thing that I take the most pleasure in is praying for those that persecute me. He said, I get great joy in that. Why? How's that even possible? The more we hear the gospel and believe it, the gospel is the word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the power of God to those that believe. We are transformed into the image of the one that we are sitting before from glory to glory to glory. We begin to take on the image, the family image. We begin to reflect the one that we're sitting before. That's what Jesus does when he's hanging on the cross, the blood dripping out of his body, life escaping him. What does he say? Father, forgive them. I want to be that guy. So why? Why would you want to be that guy? Because bitterness does nothing but defile. If you refuse to forgive, you're going to be bitter. There's going to be a root of bitterness. It's going to defile many. It's going to do nothing but bring destruction. But when we walk like Jesus, everywhere we go, somebody's going to get life. Those that believe. To the unbeliever, we are the stench of death. Are we conformed or are we transformed? The word cleanses our thinking. It changes our mind, if you will. And I know some people say, I don't want to be brainwashed. And I say, you already are. If you don't believe the word, I believe you're totally brainwashed. You can't have the right mind outside of the mind of Christ. It's worldly, it's carnal, it's sensual. James said it's devilish. Either we are for God or we're against him. There's no middle ground in this. There's people that want to ride the fence. The fence is a razor blade. If you get on top of it, it will kill you. Jesus said, whoever falls upon me will be broken. He said, whoever I fall upon will be crushed and ground to powder. I didn't expect this to go over with a big bang. We've got to ask ourselves, honestly ask ourselves, If we refuse to believe what the Bible says, are we saying, and you got to be honest with yourself, you won't want to admit this, but you've got to be honest with yourself. I've already said it, you don't believe the Bible. You just don't believe the Bible. You don't believe it's God's Word. That's a possibility. And if you've read it and you've studied it and you've looked at all the resources and the documentation, if you have looked at the different fragments of Scripture, the availability of them, the sheer numbers of them, and you're able to, in your mind, radically, maybe I should be kinder than radically, logically conclude that the Bible is not to be trusted and it's not accurate, then I can't do anything for you. I can't help you. But if you're saying that your way is better than God's way, hopefully I can share some truth that will cause you to repent. And you can begin to think that God's way is better than your way. Because I'm telling you it is. We got to ask ourselves, do we believe we know better for our lives than God does? Do we believe it's not true? Do we believe that we know better than Him? Or are we simply ignoring the Word, attempting to live a life more comfortable than the life of faith? And sometimes I think we just want to be comfortable in whatever situation we find ourselves in. It's amazing to me that people can find comfort in discomfort. And I have personally found that pain is too uncomfortable for me to be comfortable in. And I'm not being too radical here. We're about to look at examples of people that have spent their lives in uncomfortable situations, but they were constantly believing God for promises, His promises, things He has said, and that's where I desire to live. My hope is that you desire to live there as well. I said it once and I'm going to say it again. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The people God used to characterize faith in Scripture did not pick and choose what they wanted to believe. They believed what God said. They believed God. They believed there was reward in seeking God. They believed what He said. They believed what God said. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith believes that God is the answer to creation. Matter did not exist. Things visible did not exist as we know it before God spoke. Matter came into existence when God spoke. We can get hung up there if we desire. But if matter has always existed, where did it come from? You have just as much faith as I do if you believe matter has always existed. If matter has no origin, you have believed the same thing I have, except I believe God has no origin. Because one of the two has to be true. It just makes more sense to me that there is a living God than matter just has always been. Came from nothing. Well, it didn't come from it because it was here before nothing. I can't wrap my mind around that. See, the evolutionists, they have no answer for that. And to me, it's infinitely more logical to believe there is a God that existed before matter than it is for me to believe that matter existed on its own. Everything that is seen is created by God, and I've chosen to place all my reliance upon that in every way. And this started before I ever knew Him. I was raised in a Christian home, and I saw God move, but I wanted to get high. I'm just being honest. And I'm just glad He didn't let me die before I knew Him. I have seen God do things that cannot be explained outside of His existence. In verse 4, it says, by faith, and I'll close here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Abel offered the first. Cain offered some. Now, how did Abel know to offer God the first? I don't know. I don't know that there's any evidence in Scripture from the time of Adam to the time of Abel that God gave them instruction to offer the first. But somehow, some way, through relationship or whatever, Abel knew that God deserved first place in his life. Cain, on the other hand, he wanted God, but he wanted him on his own terms. We have a lot of people like that in the world. They want to make heaven. I mean, they want enough God to make heaven. They don't want to go to hell because we in America, we've heard it our entire lives. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell. But the problem is, so many people, they want enough God to go to heaven, but they still want to be in charge. They don't really want a God. They don't want the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible, when you come to Him, He said, you got to lay down your life. When you come to me, I'm in charge. Anybody in here ever heard of a preacher named Aaron Rodgers? Adrian Rodgers, pardon me. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback. Adrian Rodgers, he's been dead for several years. But he's a tremendous preacher of the gospel. I still listen to him. I love technology in some ways. Adrian Rodgers makes this statement. The day you decide to follow Jesus is the last choice you make of your will. Jesus said this. He said, if any man will come after me, let him hold on to himself. Let him think these things through until they make sense. Man's will be done. God's kingdom will come. Because God loves him that much. And that's not what he says. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Paul said, I die daily. Daily. We have to. Because I promise you, when you wake up in the morning, you have been resurrected. You got to kill that sucker again. He thinks he's in charge. He thinks he can take over. He thinks he knows something. Abel was not concerned so much about his own comfort as he was concerned about his priority toward God. Don't you know that the first thing Abel had would have tasted good? So firstlings of the flock, the Bible says. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was sheep or goats or cows or what it was. Might have been chickens. I don't know. Don't you know you've been feeding these chickens for weeks? And back then it took probably 12 weeks to get a fryer ready. 90 days to get a cow ready. I don't know how long it takes to get a sheep or a goat. They put them up, they feed them, they fatten them, and you're looking at them. I know because I've been doing this my whole life. You look at that steer in that pen, and you remember what the last one tasted like. Oh, there's no hamburger like that hamburger. You've been watching your tomatoes grow. It's been 8 months since you've had a homegrown tomato. You're watching this thing, man. It's a great, big, old, beautiful red tomato. And you can smell the bacon cooking. That first tomato, that's what we want. Bacon and tomato. And Miracle Whip. It's Miracle Whip for, it's named that for a reason. But Abel said, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to give it to God. And God said, that's what I'm looking for. Cain, he probably ate the first of his. He probably gorged himself on the wheat and the barley, the apples, the figs, whatever he was growing. And after his belly was full, he's looking and saying, I got some left over. I'll give that to God. And God did not accept it. See, that's our misconception. We believe whatever we bring to God, he'll take it. It's just not true. If it's not acceptable, remember what's his name? The evangelist Fireball, Richie Seltzer. The fire falls on the acceptable sacrifice. The fire doesn't fall on the sacrifice of our choosing. The fire falls on the sacrifice of his choosing. He was asking me right over there this morning. He told me this, and I know it to be true because I know some of the guys. I don't know them personally, but I see how it is for them. He said, if I do what you ask, your life will never be the same. He said, it'll cost you everything. I said, you can have it all. Because what I want you to do is worth more than anything I could ever. I'm believing God that there's going to be wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and canes and hearing aids and glasses. We got to find somebody with an OU wheelchair. I can't just have an OSU one on the wall. And I can't in good conscience spray it and paint it when she's not here. But maybe someone can. This morning, if you want to believe, I just want you to come and just gather in. We're not going to kneel, and I'm not going to lay hands on anybody, but we're going to gather up here at the front. If you want to believe, if you're tired of living with unbelief, if you're tired of believing one week and not believing the next, and you just want to believe what God says, forget about your experiences, forget about what you see. If I had lived by what I saw, there is no way I would still be here. I would have quit so long ago if I did not have some deep hope within me that God was going to do what he said he's going to do. And he said it back in 1998, 99, way back there, way before some of you were even born. I'm believing God. If you'll believe with me, I just want you to come as they begin to play some music. We just want to believe what God says. I don't know how Abel knew what God said. I don't know. But he believed it. God revealed himself to Abraham. And he said, I want you to get out of where you're at and go to where I'll show you. And Abraham got up and went when he didn't even know where he was going. He spent his entire life wandering. He never saw the promises that God made. But he did not stagger at the promises of God. I believe Abraham is standing at the rail of heaven right now. And he is looking down. I believe God will show him Barnesville and say, Abraham, this is why you believed. You are the father of faith, Abraham, and here are some people in a small community in Oklahoma that still believe. Down through the ages, people have believed. Down through the ages, people have received the gospel by faith and they've been transformed. I want you to pray with me. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I choose to believe. I renounce unbelief. Any spirits that are associated with unbelief have to get out of my life, out of my head, out of my heart, out of my body. Go in the name of Jesus. I repent of rebellion. Father, have your way in me. Let the gospel come alive in me, Jesus. Let the word come alive in me, Jesus. I choose to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your neighbor's hand all across this place, and I want you to begin to pray like you've never prayed today. I mean, begin to pray all across this place. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in understanding. Begin to pray, renounce, rebuke, believe God for transformation. We're not going to live like this anymore. Faith, come alive! Faith, come alive! Fill our hearts, God, with your faith. We pray for the gift of faith, Lord. Fill us with your gift of faith, God. Help us with unbelief, God. No more! Give us eyes to see those wheelchairs. Give us eyes to see those walkers. Give us eyes of faith, God. Canes, crutches, eyeglasses, braces. All kinds of medical devices. Pharmaceuticals. I pray, God, we become non-dependent on the things of this world. Heal our bodies, Jesus. the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. COVID be gone in Jesus' name. Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.